This summer we're doing something quite different. I've actually never done something like this, especially during the summer. I'm going to be inviting our church to basically be part of a summer-long Bible study. And so, though I still will be preaching and teaching, we're going to organize this much like a pretty interactive summer Bible study. And I'm very excited to do this because I've heard a lot about the Bible Project, and a lot of our youth who have gone through or are going through confirmation have already been exposed to this tremendous teaching opportunity to learn the scriptures. The founders, Tim and John, are no ordinary people. Tim, who is one of the co-founders, Tim Mackey, is the writer and creative director for the Bible Project. He has a PhD in Semitic languages, that's languages of the ancient Near East, and biblical studies. His dissertation is on the manuscript history of the book of Ezekiel. This guy knows the Bible pretty well, probably, I think, better than you and I, with the focus on the Septuagint and the Dead Sea Scrolls. He's a total nerd, according to the description of the staff and the founders on their website. He's a professor at Western Seminary and has served as a biblical teaching pastor for many, many years. The second co-founder, John Collins, is also a writer and a creative director for the Bible Project. He also has a BA in Biblical Studies from Multnomah University, where him and Tim met, became buddies, and then years later, this dream of how do we teach the scriptures to a generation that is becoming increasingly more and more biblically illiterate. And so, Tim and John is focusing a lot on digital media and marketing, and his artistic creativity combined with Tim's scholarly Bible knowledge and passion for the truth, for the scriptures, has combined to birth what is known as the Bible Project. And I love their vision. I love their vision. Helping people experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. Isn't that great? Helping people, ordinary people like you and I, experience the Bible as one unified story that leads to the person of Jesus. That's their vision. I read that, I said, I am sold. Reminded that Jesus himself in John 5, in dialoguing and debating with the Jewish teachers and leaders of his time, who were absolutely diligent in knowing the Old Testament law, the scriptures, he said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. When Jesus said that, he's not talking about the New Testament writings because it wasn't written yet. It would come a little bit later. He's referring to the Old Testament law, the Torah, the scriptures, the book of Psalms. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. And when we forget that and make that disconnect between the scriptures, the revealed word of God, that all of it leads and points to Jesus, we are missing the most important big picture of all. I love what Jesus says after his glorious resurrection, Luke 24, verse 25, walking with these disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We're talking about Old Testament here, right? All in the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus is the point of the scriptures. He is the story beyond all stories. It is the person. And as we journey wherever you are in your faith, it must include the study of the scriptures. And the scriptures in and of itself, if we forget that they point to a person, the person of Jesus, we have missed the boat. We've missed the most important point. And so this summer, we're going to do a Bible study together, and I'm going to explain to you how that's going to work. But I'm reminded what Richard Foster said, we come to the scriptures to be changed, not to amass information. We come to encounter the living God in the person of Jesus, not just so that we can outline the book of Ezekiel better, but that we meet the God of Ezekiel and our hearts are burned and melted and we are changed. I love what Richard Foster said. We come not to amass information, but to be changed. I would like to remind us that one's personal theology, your understanding of the Bible, not just in its content and an outline and the major characters and events, but the biblical worldview and the lens by which you understand and read the scriptures, examine your own life, and look at the world is absolutely critical to the way in which you experience and you live your life. Your personal understanding of the scriptures, your personal theology will affect every aspect of your life, your relationships, your friendships, how you recreate, how you hang out, how you work, how your marriage is, whether you realize it or not, it impacts everything. In the Bible-based, gospel-centered life, I believe when it's centered on the person, not a religion, not on the Christian people, not on biblical traditions of the church, but the person of Jesus, when that happens, it will unleash the power of God into your life and through your life into our broken world as we love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's how culture begins to change. Satan knew that he could not destroy Adam and Eve's belief in God. That would be nearly impossible. But what he did endeavor to accomplish is to distort their understanding of their picture of God. Did God really say? You see, if Satan, our enemy, could shake up Adam and Eve's understanding of God and doubt his character, then he would gain a foothold into their soul, their heart, their minds, and begin to see the destruction of their self, their own image, their relationship to their creator, their relationship to one another, and the relationship to the world and cosmos in which they live. What we believe about God, our theology, makes all the difference in the world, how you live and how you view life and your relationships with one another. And so this summer, we're inviting all of you, whether you're here in person or watching via our live stream or on YouTube later, to 2 months where we are going to work together on seeing how Scripture ultimately points to Jesus. Not just to amass knowledge, but that we might have an encounter with the living God of the universe. And so I don't know if that sounds boring to you, but I'm very much excited to do this Bible study with you. So this is how it's going to work. Each week throughout the summer, we are going to look at the Bible Project, and they have basically a course called Church at Home. How convenient. I don't know if that was done with the pandemic in mind. Church at Home. In the loop and on our website, you will see what the passage is for the coming Sunday. So we want to encourage you to not only read that passage before you come. Could you imagine, if you even read the passage before you come, you will get like 50% more out of the Sunday sermon and experience than you've just come cold turkey thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch? I know that's what I think a lot. What am I going to eat for lunch? And it's hard to hear the sermon, right? Because your mind is not. But if you even just read the passage once, I believe that the Holy Spirit will use that to begin to prepare your hearts and minds to receive the word with much more openness and impact if you can read the scriptures before you come. We will give the link to the Bible study for that week, and you can watch. We're going to show every Sunday a 4 to 5 minute video clip of their teaching. I mentioned their credentials, their PhDs, their long ministry, and all that they've done for the kingdom because it is an animation. And so I don't want you to think, oh my gosh, this is for children or for students. I'm way beyond this. Why? Give me real, but no. I've watched this one clip that we're going to watch in a second, just a part of it, and then for next week, over half dozen times, and I still can't soak in everything that's being touched upon in that 4 to 5 minute clip. It's so thorough, so deep, so connected to the gospel and to Jesus. Trust me, this is not kid stuff. If you have a PhD in Semitic languages and did your dissertation on Ezekiel, you know your Bible a lot better than the vast majority of us. So please don't be dismissive and say, oh my gosh, it's animation. And this is the way they have felt it would be best to connect with this generation that is biblically illiterate. And we'll give you a preview on that. So my encouragement as you do this Bible study is find out what the passage is. You'll get it in your loop. Read it. Watch the video before you come. For those of us that are in small groups this summer that aren't taking a break, this would be a phenomenal opportunity for small groups to meet before that Sunday, or you can do it afterwards, and to discuss the passage, because in it, you will find another 5-minute devotional message on the same passage on top of the teaching video. I've listened to it. It's excellent. You will find other scripture reading to accompany and flesh out and explain a little more clearly what the text is about. And there are 3 to 4 reflection and discussion questions for conversation, for deeper study and truth. If you want, you can even click on their Bible references, and I'm still trying to read through it on Genesis 3. It's 50 pages long of scholarly material. So please don't think this is kid stuff. My brain is tired trying to understand everything that they are trying to get across, and yet it's done in a way that I believe will really resonate with both young and old. So I cannot force anyone. I'm not going to check up on you if you've done your homework or not. But the more that you take advantage of this summer Bible study together as a church, the deeper you will grow. And I believe you will grow closer to Jesus. Hebrews 5 reminds us, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. The church that was being addressed at this time, instead of spiritually progressing in their journey of faith, as followers of Jesus, even though they were aging, they were getting older physically, they were spiritually sluggish, and they were mentally lazy. Hey, I'm speaking to myself as well. We all struggle. These were not recent converts, but somewhere along the journey, the writer of Hebrews is addressing that you've begun to slip. You're not progressing. You're not learning. You're not growing. You're acting as if you don't know all that you need to know. You should be far more ahead in your journey of faith, but still you need milk, not solid food. You ought to be in ministry. You ought to be discipling others. You ought to be experiencing what we talked about last Sunday, the labor pains of giving birth to young disciples. And yet, because you are sluggish, slow to learn, dull of hearing, lazy spiritually, you are missing out on the greatest opportunity of all to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God in the lives of other men, women, and children. They haven't yet mastered the ABCs of the Christian life. And so because of that, they were not able to help others be discipled and to grow and evangelize as they should have. They have grown careless, and they prioritize other things, the busyness of life that all of us struggle with, rather than really growing in spiritual formation. I don't know if that speaks to any of us here this morning. It certainly speaks to myself. And the battle with Netflix is real. To veg out and watch movie after movie, I'm still trying to finish The Heights on HBO Max. I mean, there's no limit to what is available for us to enjoy life, yes, but to be distracted. And it's very, very easy to fall into what is being warned of here. Spiritual laziness, sluggishness, still being babes when by this time we ought to be leaders and serving and helping others to grow. I say this because together I want us to journey a little bit further in our discipleship. Whether you are a professing follower of Jesus or not, take time to journey with us this summer as we go through these different teachings and lessons through animation, for goodness sake. It's fun, it's creative. I'm going to show a clip of it in just a second. And as you do that, let's journey together in our discipleship, in our growth. Because as we come out of COVID, there are going to be so many opportunities that so many people will need. For many of you, to lead them, to serve them, to teach them, to disciple them. If it's just left to the paid pastors, us two or three now left can't do it all. We need you to engage one another. And that comes as you grow in your own discipleship, your spiritual maturity, your understanding of the scriptures, and your love for Jesus. That is what I hope to accomplish this coming summer. Don Guthrie, pastor and scholar, says that spiritual maturity comes neither from isolated events nor from a great spiritual burst. It comes from a steady application of spiritual discipline. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in the grace of Jesus Christ. You absolutely do in order to be saved. But there is a synergism between our effort, a cooperative effort, along with the Holy Spirit and the means of grace by which we will continue to further grow in our discipleship and the discipling of others. And so I invite you to a new friendship with Jesus this coming summer as we use the Bible Project and begin to grow, I believe, in great ways, especially if you take time to look at the passage, at least read through it before you come. Watch the video, listen to the devotional message, sit around the table with your children, whether they are 5 years old, 15, or 50, and have a discussion. Use those questions. And I believe whether you're young or old, this could be a tremendous time for us to grow in our discipleship, grow in our understanding of Jesus, and burn in our hearts for love for Him and for our neighbors.